We had a week off, and it's kind of weird when you're getting back in the rhythm here. We're going through the book of Matthew, but we did take a week off last week for Passover, and one of our elders, Bob, gave a fantastic message for us. But we're diving back into the book of Matthew, and Matthew 12, starting in verse 30, we're going to go there in just a minute, but you know, I wanted to just say a couple of things. As we go to this passage, and we've been really studying some, I don't know what you want to call them, maybe difficult passages, maybe hard-hitting passages. You know, the Bible is an amazing book. There is one single theme that runs throughout the entire Bible and every single one of the books of the Bible. And the theme is we're separated from God because of our sin, because we willfully separated from God and because of sin, we're separated from Him, and Yeshua the Messiah reconciles us to God. If we don't get any other theme out of the Bible, that's the central theme that runs currents through the entire Bible. But the Bible, to do that, to explain that theme, to expound on that theme, the Bible has a varied approach, right? We have books in the Bible that are filled with what we would call prose. We have books in the Bible that are beautiful poetry or parallelism in Hebrew. We have what we call apocalyptic literature, you know, like Daniel and Ezekiel and Revelation. We have wisdom literature, Proverbs, and different things like that. And we have these passages that makes us feel really good. You know those passages I'm talking about, like God is love, you know, God loves us kind of passages. Those are the really great passages in the Bible that you want to just put on a little sticky note, you put up on your mirror, or you put up, you know, by your car or in your room or something. And those make us really feel good. But then we have more difficult passages. And it's all the same book, and it's all the same theme, but sometimes we have difficult passages where we are convicted, where our sins are exposed a little bit. And when we need to do teshuvah, right? When we need to repent, when we need to ask God to forgive us, change our behavior. Those verses never feel good, but they are necessary verses, just like the God is love verses for us, all right? So that's the Bible. But when we get to passages like Matthew chapter 12, and we're doing 30 to 37 today, that's today's passage, we come to, I think, a difficult passage. One of those where it makes you think. It makes you make a decision. It makes you choose something. Those are passages that are just as good, just as important as God is love passages. And when we come to those passages, we have to make that choice. We have to make that decision. We come face to face with God, and we have to ask ourselves, who is God? Who is God to me? And this is one of those passages. Let's begin with Matthew 12, verse 30, just starting with verse 30. And these are Yeshua's words. You know, he's gone through, there was a just want to briefly summarize this. Matthew, the first several chapters were setting it up. Yeshua's coming on the scene. He's doing miracles. Things are working. Things are gelling. Everybody's following him. He's super popular. Chapter 12 comes and opposition starts coming. And people start questioning. And people start saying, well, what is this guy really about? And what side should we take? You see that? And we talked about this. We went through Matthew 12 where some of the Jewish leaders were threatened a bit by him. And they were questioning some things. And so that is continuing to go on. And Yeshua just kind of busts out with Matthew 12, 30. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. That's one of those verses where it's like, okay, we have to make a choice. Who is this man? Who is this person? And who is he to me? We have to pick a side. You know, in popular culture, if you think about, and I was driving in the car the other day, and, you know, I'm not that old, but when I was a kid, there was, I remember before cable TV, or right at the advent of cable TV, right? Some of you remember the 12 channels, right? You got the turning the dial and all that stuff. And I remember as a kid, we had that kind of a TV. And now I'm just, my head spins when I think about all the channels that are available, all the sports channels available, all the this channels available. And I can listen to music on my television. I can do all these things. I was in the car listening to the radio, and somebody came on and said, and I don't know who, spends the time to calculate these things. But of the number of TV shows or movies you can watch on every channel of the television now, there are a choice of 917,000. You have over a million choices. Think about that. That's crazy. You could literally sit in front of your TV from now until you die and not catch even a percentage of those. The choices are all out there. But if you take all of those 917,000 shows or whatever they are, and you drill it all down, what is it really all about? There is always this thing about it's a battle. It's a battle between good and evil, right? It really always comes to that, between good and evil. It's like a fight between good and evil. God has always given us the choice in Scripture. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. God has always given us this choice in Scripture to follow Him or reject Him. To listen to what He says and do good, or to reject Him and do evil. So there's this choice. And it's interesting how all of our TV shows and all of our movies, when you really think about it, they drill down to that simple fact. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. This is what Adonai says to Israel as they're getting ready to enter the promised land at the end of the Torah. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, and holding fast to Him. For He is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. So God's not mincing words here, just like Yeshua's not mincing words, right? In Matthew 18 or 12, 30, we have got to make a choice. But so far through the book of Matthew, as I mentioned, everybody, the common people, the Jewish leaders, they've all heard Yeshua's teachings, wonderful teachings that He has had. They've all heard Him expound on the Torah, you know, the whole Sermon on the Mount, His exposition, His drash on the Torah. They've all seen Yeshua's miracles. Every one of them have seen His miracles that He's performed. But the newness, the excitement, and the 15 minutes of Yeshua's fame have sort of worn off with some people. And now the people are forced to make a judgment call. They're forced to choose a side. Mark chapter 8, verses 27 to 30. I just want to read this passage because this is another passage of Scripture that kind of says the same thing to us. This is during His earthly ministry, and Yeshua went on with His disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way, he asked His disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told Him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And He, Yeshua, asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered them, "You are the Messiah." And He strictly charged them to tell no one about Him. We have the same thing today. Many people see Yeshua or Jesus as this historical figure, right? Rabbi Allen mentioned it before. Well, He was a good man. You know, people think that the Messiah was supposed to be a good man, or even historically now, the prevailing thought is, well, Jesus was a good Jew. Jesus was a good man. But they usually say right after that, you know, it's Paul that screwed everything up, right? You've heard that before, right? And even in Judaism today, the mainstream view in Judaism is Yeshua was a good teacher. He was a good Jew. He was a good teacher for our people. But that Paul screwed it up, right? But we know He was much more than just a good Jew. Now, I want to read you a quote. It's a pretty lengthy quote, but it really ties into what we're talking about with these scriptures. And it's from a man named C.S. Lewis. Everybody's heard of him, right? He wrote The Chronicles of Narnia. You may not realize that he was a very strong believer in Yeshua. And he wrote a book, and in the book, I'm going to quote the book, it's from the book, it's called Mere Christianity is his book. And this is a quote in full from C.S. Lewis. "I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Him, that is Christ. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept His claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He will be either a lunatic on a level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he will be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. I love that quote. And now we see Yeshua, right? In this passage in Matthew 12, he's telling us, look, you need to choose. Who am I? Point number one today, we must make a choice about Yeshua. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. Everybody always asks me, when are you preaching through Revelation? Well, here's your revelation for you today. Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Yeshua, in these two verses, is speaking to the people of the congregation of Laodicea, right? It's a place in Asia Minor. It's in modern-day Turkey. And he's speaking to the Laodicean congregation in the book of Revelation, and this is what he says to them. I know your works. You are neither hot nor cold. Would that you were either hot or cold. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot or cold, nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. There comes a time when you and I have to make a choice and get serious and make a decision. It's the decision. Who is Yeshua? All right, let's continue with our passage now. Matthew 12, we'll go on. Verses 31 and 32. Still Yeshua's words. Therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. And I read this and I say to myself, Lord, why couldn't you give me the God is love passage to preach about today? This is probably one of the most controversial and debated questions in all of the believing world, what we just read. These two verses, what they talk about has been termed the unpardonable spirit or sin. Have you heard that one? The unpardonable sin or the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. We've all kind of heard this. These are tough scriptures. Scholars have debated about this for centuries. What does this mean? Well-meaning believers throughout the ages have agonized over these verses. Maybe you have agonized over these verses a little bit. And they've wondered, have I committed the unpardonable sin? The one that would keep me from heaven. The one that would keep me from eternity with the Lord. So I'm only going to have a few minutes to talk about this, but I want to start us off calming us a little bit, right? Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Let's go there first. You know, we have to look at all of Scripture together to understand. And it's all about, like I said, all of Scripture is one big theme. It's all God-breathed and useful for us for correction and reproof and teaching. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Messiah Yeshua. So everybody can like breathe. Everybody breathe a little bit. Oh, okay. Thank you. I've heard people say, if you're worried that you may have committed the unpardonable sin, then you haven't committed the unpardonable sin, okay? Those of us who are seeking the Lord in Messiah Yeshua, we're trying to be the best followers of God that we can be. I truly believe we are not in danger of committing the unpardonable sin. Now, like all Scripture, we have to look at context. Every time, the key is context. People take verses out of Scripture and they start making, you know, denominations out of it and movements out of it. And you can get really dangerous really fast. I want you to go with me to Mark chapter 3, verse 28 to 30. Now, remember, these are the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and even John to that extent. These are, as I mentioned before, these are different ways to look at the life of Yeshua. And so we have parallel passages throughout the synoptic gospels. And the parallel passage to Matthew 12 is Mark chapter 3. So I want to read you from the other perspective, another perspective, which is the Mark reading, verses 28 to 30 of chapter 3. Again, Yeshua's words. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whoever blasphemes they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they were saying, he has an unclean spirit. Okay, that gives us a little bit more context with that verse. The key point is the leadership was saying, and if you remember from the Matthew 12 readings from before, some of the leadership was upset with Yeshua. He was a threat to their power. They didn't like it. They thought he was breaking Torah, this and that and the other. And they were saying, he's got an unclean spirit. Some of the leadership were attributing Yeshua's words and his miracles that he was doing to that of the power of Baal Zebul, which is translated the prince of demons. And another way to really say that is the devil. So they were saying that Yeshua is doing all these miraculous signs. They couldn't dispute that he was doing miracles in front of them. But they were saying, well, those miracles are from the power of the devil. The word blasphemy here in the Greek is, guess what? Blasphemia. That's an easy one. And what it means, if you look at what blaspheme or blasphemia means in the Greek, it means slander, distraction, detraction, speech injurious to another's good name. That kind of sounds like what was going on there. A prevailing explanation for the blaspheming of against the Holy Spirit refers to attributing the miracles, the power and the person of Yeshua to the power and person of the enemy, saying, this is the enemy that's controlling him. This is the enemy that's doing this. And some people were saying that at that time. Right in front of them was the God in the flesh, Yeshua, and they were saying that 2,000 years ago. They were literally calling Yeshua a tool of the devil, right? He had committed, they had committed an unpardonable sin there, in a sense, because they were saying his power is from the devil. And many people say, many scholars say, because Yeshua is not literally in front of us today, and people are not literally saying to him, your powers that I'm seeing you commit are from the devil, that many scholars believe that no one today can commit the unpardonable sin because Yeshua is not there and you can't attribute the miracles that he's doing to the devil. That's one prevailing view. Now, related to all of that discussion, we know some of the roles of the Ruach HaKodesh, right? Because we're talking about the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit here, right? Yeshua is like, you could say all you want about me and that can be forgiven, but against the Ruach, against the Holy Spirit, what does the Ruach HaKodesh do? Well, some of the roles of the Ruach are to convict us, right? To testify about Yeshua, to testify about the Son, and to draw us to Yeshua. Those are some of the roles of the Spirit. So if someone rejects the drawing of the Spirit on them, someone is being prompted by the Spirit of God to accept Yeshua, and they don't listen to it, okay? They don't accept the fact that Yeshua was the once and for all sacrifice for our sins, which the Spirit attributes to, the Spirit testifies to, the Spirit convicts us about our sin and shows us Yeshua. If they don't respond to that calling, then they don't accept Yeshua and his once and for all sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, they don't have their sins atoned for. Therefore, they don't spend eternity with the Lord. So that could be very well the unpardonable sin, because you never get the opportunity to come to the Lord, to accept Yeshua, and to have your sins atoned for. Now, I would love to sit up here and tell you that I have all the answers and that I know exactly what the unpardonable sin is. But I think it lies somewhere there. And I think, you know, we look through a glass darkly and we have to continue to examine the scriptures. We have to continue to look at context, which we did with the Mark scripture. We have to use all proper biblical interpretive techniques. And at the end of the day, sometimes we have to say, I think it's this, but God, you know, and I don't know. And it's okay that I don't know. And God, if you want to reveal it to me today or tomorrow or next week, that's great. And if you don't, that's cool too, because you're God and I'm not. So we can do the best we can, and at the end of the day, we still say, but you know what? God could show me something different. God could reveal something different to me. But I'm thinking, and I really believe as I study the scriptures, that this is somewhere where we're going, is that to take Yeshua and to attribute him to the prince of demons, that's a pretty serious offense. We should be seeking God, listening to the prompting of the Ruach. You know the prompting. It's a prick. It's a conviction. Sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's great. And we need to be, maybe it's another person saying something to you is the prompting. Let's be sensitive to the Spirit of God in our lives. But you know, we get so focused on everything. We get so focused on knowing what is the unpardonable sin, what about the end times, what's going on here, that we lose all the focus. And if we're obsessing about things like what's the unpardonable sin to the detriment of cultivating a relationship with God and cultivating a faith walk with the Lord, we are missing the mark. So we need to prioritize here. It's okay to talk about it. It's okay to preach about it. It's okay to debate about it at times. But let's focus on the Spirit of God prompting us and drawing us closer to Yeshua. John 15:26. Turn with me there. John 15:26. These are Yeshua's words. And he says this, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." You see this? The Spirit of God is the Helper that comes. He is with us, and he is bearing witness to us about Messiah Yeshua. Amen to that. Point number two, allow the Spirit to draw you to Yeshua. That's the role. If you have a spirit that's talking to you, and they are drawing you away from Yeshua or to something that's not godly, let's question if that was the Spirit of God, right? Because there are spirits out there. Believe me, there is a world out there that you and I, that we don't really know about. There is a place where demons and angels fight. There's other dimensions. We have to understand that, not to get scared about it, but to understand. And we understand it by reading his word and understanding context. Let's focus on allowing the Spirit to draw us to Yeshua. And, you know, another scripture says, test the spirits. I didn't bring that one up. But turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. You and I have a choice. We can allow the Spirit to draw us to Yeshua, or we cannot listen, close our ears and our eyes and our hearts to the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says it best, "Do not quench the Spirit." That's pretty short and sweet, right? Do not quench the Spirit. That's like this old English term, quench. What does it mean? It means don't extinguish the Spirit. Has anybody watched the show Forged in Fire? Anybody? You know when they quench they're building blades, knives, and there's a quench tank. And they take the blade after they have forged it, and they dip it in the quench, and the quench stops it. It extinguishes the heat. Do not extinguish the Spirit in our lives. Don't let it go out. Don't stop responding to it or listening to it. Now turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. You and I need to be keeping in step with the Spirit. I'm not talking about praying 5 hours a day and, you know, okay, which shoe should I tie first, Spirit? Please lead me there. I mean, come on, let's use common sense. But the Spirit should be speaking to us, talking to us, guiding us throughout the day, subtly and in also not so subtle ways. We have to be sensitive to that. Let us keep in line with that. Okay, back to Matthew 12, verses 33 to 37. This is the rest of the passage today. Still Yeshua's words. "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. The good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, brings forth evil." Verse 36. "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Whew, ouch. Yeshua has previously spoken in Matthew about fruit. There was a time when he spoke about fruit and bearing good fruit, right? The analogy is you and I in our lives, everybody, every human being, we are trees, okay? So envision yourself as a tree, you know, like Bob Ross says, happy trees. We're happy trees. We are trees, and trees do what? They bear fruit. But trees can bear all sorts of fruit. You can bear good fruit in your lives as a tree. You can bear bad fruit in your lives as a tree. And Yeshua says, for from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our words and our actions reveal our heart and our spirit. Now, talking about the heart and the spirit for a minute, turn with me to Jeremiah, book of Jeremiah. And let's go to chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Sort of sounds like the Matthew 12 scripture, too. I love how scripture correlates with scripture, right? Because of sin, our hearts are sick, deceitful. But here's the cool thing. Because of God's love for us, there is a plan to give us a better heart, to give us a new heart. Now I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel is one of those apocalyptic literature passages, but this is a really kind of a clear one for us. Ezekiel 36, 24 to 27. Now this passage is concerning Israel, wayward Israel, when they were in exile. And this is God speaking words to them, wayward Israel. Ezekiel 36, 24. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Oh, wow, that's the Tanakh. That's the Old Testament. That's talking about a new heart and a new spirit that we're going to get. And, you know, that's tied very, very strongly, and I'm not going to read it for time, but Jeremiah chapter 31, you know the scripture, 31 to 34, where God promises a new covenant, a covenant that will be in our heart, the Torah in our heart, God's ways in our heart. This is the thing. Yeshua is the one who cleanses us from the heart of sin and gives us newness of life with a new heart for God. If we have that new life in Yeshua, what do? We operate differently. We think differently. Our heart has changed. You know what? The fruit that you and I start bearing changes. We go from bearing bad fruit to bearing good fruit. I'm not saying we're going to be perfect people. We have the rest of our lives to work through our issues, to get closer to God, to learn, oh, that's not right. I shouldn't be doing that. That's some bad fruit. Let me work on this and bear good fruit here. This is a process. Anybody that tells you it's like a snap of the fingers and all of a sudden you're a good fruit bearer and that's all you are is really not understanding Scripture. There is a process of transformation that we go through and we have to work through that. But we have a new heart. We have the Spirit of the living God in us, directing us, guiding us, showing us, leading us, bringing us to Yeshua. And guess what? We're going to start bearing good fruit as we do that. Point number three, your words and your life will show your fruit. And Yeshua, God, He will recognize us by that fruit. But the fruit that we bear will be a reflection of what type of tree that we are and what type of life we live. So as we examine these difficult passages, and you know, the God is love passages are absolutely wonderful, but this can also drive us to a closer walk with God and feeling good because we know that we can grow closer to God when we do these things, that we can put these things in place and have a closer walk with Yeshua, with the Spirit of God prompting us, bearing good fruit. So the question really is, if we take an examination of our lives today, be honest with yourself. I'm not going to ask for hands. I'm not going to ask for people to give me stories or anything. But you know, I know, we know our lives. Are we bearing good fruit for God? Are we allowing the Spirit of God to draw us closer to God? Are we loving the Lord? Sure. But also loving our neighbor. Are we developing bonds of love and connection within our community here, with your neighbors, with people at work? Are you working to carry out that bearing of good fruit in your life. That is our challenge today, and that is our life's work. And this is what God is calling us to do every day, including today. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you because you teach us, you guide us and direct us through your word and through the Spirit of the living God, the Ruach. Lord, we want to be sensitive to the Ruach's prompting. We want to know how to walk, the right way to walk. So show us, Lord God, as we read, as we study, as we listen to your Spirit. Speak to us, Lord God. You know, many times you don't speak in a thundering voice, you speak in a whisper. And we need to understand the thundering voices, sure, but we also need to understand and hear the whisper. So are we listening, Lord? Are we listening close enough to hear the whispers today? I pray that you continue to whisper and talk and even shout to us when you want to, Lord God, and guide us and direct us closer to you. We thank you, and we want to just give you our lives, commit our hearts to you, commit our tree lives to you, and we pray that we can bear good fruit for your kingdom. We thank you and praise you in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen and amen. Let's stand together.